We're going to read some verses from Genesis chapter 37 this morning. May I say good morning to you all. May the Lord bless us as we spend a little time together around His Word. Genesis chapter 37, and we read at the verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. That is, he told his father that they were doing sinful things, and Joseph thought it but his duty to tell his father that this was so. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf." Do you know what that means? They all bowed down before Joseph's sheaf. That's what it means. It's what you do when you come into the presence of a king or a queen. You bow. And that's what the sheaves did, belonging to the brothers of Joseph, unto his sheaf. And his brethren said to him, verse 8, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Again, that word, which simply means to bow. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed or thought upon the saying. We'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will bless his word to our heart. Let me just remind you what it is we are doing in our little Bible studies. We are told toward the end of the Gospel of John, I'll read just two verses from the end of chapter 20 of John, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now what John says, by way of explaining why it is he wrote his gospel, may be applied to the whole Bible. "These things are written in this book, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." God has given us here in this book revelation as to who Jesus is, and of course, what it is he's seeking to do. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He's the Savior. But as well as giving us writings, God had you little ones in mind as well. Now the ones behind are supposed to be able to read and to understand, but there was a time, if it hasn't passed, if they still don't dwell upon another aspect of learning, looking at pictures. We have a gang that comes into our house every so often, and they know there's a certain cupboard, and in that cupboard there are lots of books just for them. And they pull them out, and though they have looked at them, I don't know how many times, they look at them again as if it was the first time they had ever seen them. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures, some of them very, very funny. And they read them. They read them. God in this book has pictures, and we want to look at some of them. That's why our series is called Pictures of Christ in the Bible. I have already started our study of Joseph, because Joseph presents to us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're reading the Bible, you should always look for that. You should always look for information about the Lord Jesus. That's the whole purpose of the Bible, and if you're not getting that, then you're really not getting anything out of the Bible. He's there in every page to be seen. Sometimes a little more difficult to see than in other places. Now, we're picking out some of the easiest places to look at. And here in Genesis, in the story of Joseph, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus. We have already looked at the fact that there is no record in the story of Joseph of him committing sin. And he's one of only two, and I think I'm right in saying this, whose lives are recorded in the Bible, against whom there is no record of sin. Joseph was one. Can any of you remember who the other one was? We did tell you. Yes, there's hand going up. Daniel, wasn't it? Daniel. Now, I have to explain that because there's no record given us in the account of his life and of Daniel's life does not mean that they didn't sin, because they did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But no record of Joseph's sin is given to us because God wants to see us to see in Joseph a picture of the Lord Jesus, the sinless one. The sinless one. But we're going on a little further today, and we're going to pick out some more likenesses to the Lord Jesus Christ that is found in the story of Joseph. Look at the verse 3 of chapter 37 of Genesis. Verse 3, Genesis 37. If you have a spare finger, keep it in there, in case we move somewhere else. But we'll always be coming back to chapter 37. Now it says, now Israel, another name for Jacob. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph was beloved of his father. He was loved of his father. We're told there that he gave him a token of his love, a coat of many colors. A coat of many colors. You could tell that Jacob loved Joseph because he wore the symbol of his father's love upon him, a coat of many colors. Now, here is typified for us the righteousness, the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the words that we read in Matthew chapter 3. Just you listen. You needn't turn it up. The Lord Jesus is just beginning his ministry. And it is as if his father wanted to introduce him to the world. And so in chapter 3 of Matthew, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. You know, just as Jacob wanted to show to everyone how much he delighted in Joseph by giving him the coat of many colors, so God the Father, at the very commencement of the Savior's ministry, did something which he very rarely did. He spoke so that all could hear. And there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's as if God put on the Lord Jesus a coat of many colors to show his favor, his love, his delight in his Son. Now, he did it not just once, he did it again. Because in Matthew chapter 17, we read these words, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Because he pleased his Father wants us to listen to him. The Lord Jesus pleases the Father because he expresses to all who will hear him the Father's will, the Father's mind, the Father's purpose, the Father's plan. That's what is pleasing about the Lord Jesus. He sets forth his Father, and the Father wants us to listen to him, to heed him, and thereby learn from him. The many colors of this coat that Jacob gave to Joseph was most likely made up of many different pieces of cloth of different colors. We have all heard of a patchwork quilt. Well, I think there was something of that in this coat of Joseph's. The marginal reading for many colors is many pieces. And those who are skilled in the Hebrew language would tell us it means that the coat, the garment, was made up of many pieces of different colored cloth. That's how it was made up. That's what it consisted of. And you know, that coat that was given to Joseph is also a picture. It's representative of something. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ in the many beauties that are found in his character, the many wonderful graces and virtues, and I'll use the word goodnesses, that are seen in the character of Christ. When you look at him, you will see that he's clothed in many wonderful and blessed aspects of holiness. In the Song of Solomon, which is a song that has to do with the wonderful relationship between a bride and her husband, and it's a picture of the relationship between the Lord Jesus and his bride, the church. And in this Song of Solomon, and in the chapter 5, the bride has been speaking highly of her loved one, so much so that those around her are stirred to ask a question, such as her love and the excited way in which she speaks of her beloved. The world around is stirred up, and they ask this question, Song of Solomon, the chapter 5 and the verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us or give us a command? Why are you so excited about your beloved? What's the difference between him and other husbands that you should speak of him in such a fashion? Then the answer is given, and I want you to think about the coat of many colors as you hear the answer. My beloved is white and ruddy. You know what ruddy means? A good reddish complexion. The chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. What a description of our Redeemer. A spiritual description describing the delightsomeness of his character. It's robing him in a coat of many colors, setting out his many virtues. I tell you, Joseph is a wonderful picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, it is the greatest possible honor that could be bestowed upon anyone that they should be a picture of the Lord Jesus. You should so live, you should so live as to show forth Christ. The Lord Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. And in another place he said of his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." The church is described as the moon. Have you ever seen the moon? Especially a new moon in all its fullness, shining up there in a clear night sky. It's beautiful. But you know there's no light on the moon. The moon is just a dark lump of rock. The light you see shining down upon the earth and bathing the earth in the most gentle light is not so much coming from the moon as coming from the sun. It's out of sight behind us, beneath us, as it were, on the other side of the earth. But it's shining past the earth onto the face of the moon and then reflecting the sun's light back again. That's what you are. That's what you should be. Like Joseph, you should reflect the image, reflect the light of the Lord Jesus in a dark world. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow together in a wee word of prayer. Dear Lord, please give understanding to the boys and to the girls, aye, and to all of our hearts, of these sweet and precious truths. Help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be like Jesus. As that the wee hymn says, Lord, I would be like Jesus. Grant us that grace. Take care of the school today. We pray for every pupil. We think of little Andrew in particular. Lord, bless the child, we pray. Amen.